And welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, bringing you the latest health research and world news. We're still trying to get Austin on the show right now. I don't know what's going on with his phone system, but that's okay. We'll go ahead and start the show today without Austin. It's interesting to me because, you know, every time I get involved with doing the news and I start reading through information or reading through the news, it never ceases to amaze me at how so many people want to obfuscate what's going on and not tell you the truth as far as what's happening. Austin, are you with us?
I'm in here, bud.
Okay. But I was going into the news today because there's one thing I want to cover real quickly with you guys, and it's just very important. I'm pulling it up right now. But if you've got a story, Austin, we'll start with you right now, bud.
Yeah, well, definitely the first thing is we need to be praying for everybody up in New York in Times Square today after that idiot ran over everybody in his Honda Accord. He drove through, they said, about 80, 90 miles an hour, killed one person and hit 23 other pedestrians. Wasn't any terrorist activity. Apparently, he was extremely drunk and under the influence of some drugs. He's already had two DUIs at the age of 26. This will be his third one. Obviously, he'll be getting manslaughter charges on this, but I want to make sure we're praying for everybody up there. That's a rough incident to have happen, especially walking down the sidewalk in New York. But, I mean, that's one of the issues why you shouldn't drink and drive. Obviously, this kid hasn't learned that at age of 26 after two DUIs. So hopefully this time gets his attention because this won't be a DUI anymore. This is going to be significant jail time.
Well, he needs to go to jail, Austin. I mean, you know, why in the world does he think that's okay? I mean, it's really kind of sad when that kind of stuff happens because it just makes everybody want to go to the automated auto-driving cars and take our rights away to drive. It's what happens. I mean,
that's
just
true.
Who it is. And it's really, really sad that it happens. What's your first story, buddy? I'm still looking for the article.
Well, the one that's pretty weird here as well, I mean, even Fox ran this, but it's going to show you that exactly what I told you guys yesterday, the obfuscation and the deep state and the CIA, if Trump's not listening to them, that's exactly what they're going to do, is what they did yesterday and the day before, is try and throw him under the bus. But even former Representative Dennis Kucinich said Americans must put party politics aside and acknowledge that the federal government is attacked from within. He said the deep state within the bureaucracy is trying to destroy Donald Trump's presidency. He called the leaks against President Trump a clear and present danger to the American way of life. It was our first allegiance to our country, and our country itself is attacked from within, from the deep state. And that is exactly what I told you guys yesterday, this whole nonsense. And now there's already been congressional video tape of Comey testifying under oath in front of Congress that Trump and the entire administration and the Department of Justice did not tell him at all to stop the investigation that he was doing. And so now he's trying to turn around and say he has memos stating he was supposed to, when he is now under oath 2 months ago under congressional hearing stating he did not have any memo to do so. So I think this guy is being a shill. He is being a troll for the globalist doing. That's why I think Trump got rid of him. That's why now they're trying to start as much crap as they can with this entire incident. Even Putin now has come out today and said, if you guys don't stop this nonsense with this fake news, I'm going to release the entire transcript of what occurred with Kovach and Trump in the White House in their meeting. And I'm going to show you guys there was not a single leak issued. There was no classified information issued because this has gotten completely out of hand with these guys. What's going on now, and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, but we're seeing now the whipping up of this hysteria over imagined misconduct. In my opinion, they're trying to induce more violent attacks. Multiple things have happened over the last couple weeks with a woman running a representative off the road, trying to wreck him. Another one in a meeting the other day in North Dakota. Another violent attack yesterday where Democratic Steve Martin was arrested in Tucson after threatening to assault and murder Representative Martha McSally. They arrested him under suspicion of threatening U.S. Representative Martha McSally from May 10th when he left three messages on the congressional office voicemail threatening there that she should be careful and her days were numbered, and he threatened to shoot her in one of the expletive-filled messages. It seems to appear there's no responsible adults on the left willing to come out and denounce violence as a political tactic. We saw this last year just across the board where people, they seem to forget about what happened last year. We're just violent after violent after violent behavior was perpetrated on Trump supporters all over the place at rallies, all the same time while the media downplayed it and justified the brutal violence. It is basically them just protesting, doing what they're doing. This is what I think they're trying to do with this, Dad. Not only are they trying to make Trump capitulate, they're trying to use obfuscation for other things in the news like with Syria, and on top of that, they're trying to incite more violence among the general population with this whole left-right. The left needs to do something about this, and they need to be violently active, and that's where I think a lot of this is going on right now.
You know, when Clinton basically gave the Chinese, through Toshiba, the silent shaft technology of our nuclear submarines and the missile guidance systems back in the 90s, there was no call to impeach Clinton. What they're doing basically, Austin, is this. Since the media is controlling the news narrative, every time Trump does what they want him to do, like send missiles into Syria, and we talked about this yesterday, they say how great of a president he is, et cetera. And as soon as he tries to deviate from the globalist agenda, they come in and they say, wait a minute, he's a horrible president, he's a horrible person, we don't want him here, we're going to talk bad about him. Let me share something about Comey real quick. And this is something that's some pretty good information here I got today. Comey, the guy with this, Trump just got rid of with the FBI, was involved in the prosecution of the Gambino crime family while working as the deputy chief of the criminal division for the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York between 1987 and 1993. And what's interesting about this is while the majority of the deep state is against Donald Trump, there is a minority element allied with the mafia that supports him, kind of like with Kennedy. Trump necessarily has relationships with the mafia syndicates, both as the CEO of a large construction company in New York City and as the founder of the casinos in Atlantic City and New Jersey. There's really no way around this. What's also interesting is between 2005 and 2010, James Comey was general counselor and senior vice president of Lockheed Martin. This is getting interesting now. The U.S. Department of Defense's largest contractor with 2015 revenues of over $46 billion. If Trump is to purge this larger faction of the deep state from his administration, Comey as a representative of that faction had to go. And we need to realize also that if he'll put somebody in as a replacement who won't be beholden to the military-industrial complex, it's going to make his administration a whole lot easier to go. So what Trump probably is doing right now, Austin, and I mentioned this yesterday, he's kind of tiptoeing through the tulips the first 3 or 4 months in office, trying to figure out, you know, who his friends are and who his enemies are. And so now he's actually talking about doing a full cabinet shakeup and White House shakeup, and hopefully that involves getting rid of Jared Kushner and his daughter. And if he'll do all of this stuff and get these elements out from around him that are trying to force him into the globalist mindset, he may actually end up being a pretty good president if we give him a chance. The reality is that we know that he's doing something, or else they wouldn't be talking all this impeachment stuff all the time. And oh, by the way, John McCain, of course, is basically talking impeachment against Trump too, because, you know, John McCain is the failed presidential candidate with Sarah Palin a few years ago, and he does not want Trump in office because Dr. John McCain is a complete and totally entrenched globalist. And remember, Trump nailed him pretty hard on the campaign speech when he said that why is John McCain a war hero? All he did was manage to get himself shot down over Vietnam. So it's pretty interesting when you stop to look at all of the stuff that's going on behind the scenes and a lot of the information that we're getting in from our contacts right now and how weird this is getting. Austin, what do you think?
Oh, it's super weird, man. There's so many different facets of what's going on, and that's what I talked about yesterday where, you know, they're accusing Assad of hanging people, whether he has or not, I don't know, but there's been zero evidence that I've seen. And then they go on to say, well, okay, well, after he's hanging them, he's cremating them. And then you have that Israeli minister over there now saying, well, we haven't seen this in 70 years of people being cremated like this. We need to assassinate Assad immediately. All this stuff, guys, just absolutely reeks of conspiracy when you start putting the pieces together. And this whole thing's like a big jigsaw puzzle, and it's very difficult to decipher when it's all out in pieces. And the more you start putting these pieces together and you keep hearing this violent rhetoric and you put this side together and you slide this other piece in here, you kind of start seeing a glimpse of what the picture is. And that's pretty much what we talked about yesterday, as far as this is all just a globalist plan. ploy to try and bring everything together into their bidding. Also, too, this is pretty wild now. It looks like the Supreme Court maybe getting its first ruling in a while on gun rights. The U.S. Supreme Court may decide in its next term if citizens have a constitutional right to carry a handgun for self-defense outside the home. This is huge. Earlier this month in May, the court relisted the case Pertua versus California, meaning the justices are still considering it. I suspect they're going to grant it, John Eastman said. The lawsuit was filed by a California man, Edward Pertua, who challenged San Diego County Sheriff William D. Gore's denial of a concealed weapon permit application because he did not show good cause. Remember, they're doing this in California now. You can only carry a concealed weapon in California if you could show good cause, and also, too, there's all types of limitations and restrictions on what you can carry. Remember, they have, like, the magazine ban, the amount of ammunition it can carry, all this stupid stuff. So it's already very heavily restricted on just having a firearm in general. Carrying it's a whole nother level. The San Diego County Sheriff said he does not consider self-defense to be a good cause for a concealed carry permit. This guy's an idiot. Pertua's attorney wants the justices to overturn the U.S. Ninth Court of Appeal ruling that the Second Amendment does not grant the right to carry outside the home. If you guys remember June of last year, this was big news. The Ninth Circuit Court ruled against Pertua in a 7-4 decision that the Second Amendment does not grant the right to carry a firearm outside the home. They said the right of a member of the general public to carry a concealed firearm in public is not and has not ever been protected by the Second Amendment as a lie. Therefore, because the Second Amendment does not protect in any degree the right to carry concealed firearms in public, any prohibition or restriction on a state may choose to impose on concealed carry, including a requirement of good cause, however defined, is necessarily allowed by the amendment. First off, the right to keep and bear arms. The term bear, when it goes back to the language that they used to use on that, meant to carry, to conceal, to take with you, to have in your possession, to keep in your home. That was the entire terminology of that. That's why they use that, to bear that item. You had it with you at any given time, at any given place, wherever you felt the need to carry so. This entire Ninth Circuit ruling last year, I went into detail in it last year, was so unconstitutional, it was nauseating to me. However, we know the Ninth Circuit Court was the same one that did this crap 2 months ago with Trump as far as issuing the injunction, allowing the refugees from Somalia to still flood in and hundreds of thousands of numbers. Anyways, that's another story. But this could be the first major firearm decision heard by the new Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch that Trump appointed. And it also, too, will be the first big gun firearm decision from the Supreme Court since 2008, probably the most important one, in which the Supreme Court ruled that the Second Amendment does grant the Americans the right to keep guns in their home. This was the Heller decision, and this was very important back in 2008. It overturned the District of Columbia's ban on private ownership of handguns inside of your home. So that was a really, really good one. If you guys read back on Heller in 2008, that was incredible. If the Supreme Court rules in favor of this, that the Second Amendment does apply to concealed carry outside of your home, not only will this change the law in California, this will make it federal law that you will be able to carry a firearm outside of your home with a concealed carry permit, even in the states that don't allow it, unless the states try and file an injunction. But I don't think they can do that with Supreme Court, Dad, if they issue that ruling. What do you think about that?
Wonderful news. I hope it gets through and I hope it passes. There's no reason that when you have a concealed weapons permit, Austin, and you go to different states, I think Florida is reciprocal with like 28 or 38 other states in the United States. I don't remember if it's either 28 or 38. And so you shouldn't have to be looking at the map and pulling it up on the computer to find out where and where you can conceal carry. I mean, it's wonderful.
Absolutely.
Because I know in North Carolina and Georgia, where we've been staying for the last few weeks, you know, I can carry a concealed weapon in both states with full reciprocity concealed. And I love that because you can go into the grocery store, you can go into the gas station, you can go wherever you want to go and not have to think about, well, what may happen. The thing about this is area up here in North Georgia, right, where these three states come together, where Georgia and South Carolina and North Carolina all kind of intersect here by near Hiawassee and near Clayton. It's like there's like no crime. It's the craziest place you've ever been. It's like no crime at all. It's kind of weird. And so it's really kind of like, it's kind of like going back into history back with Andy of Mayberry and back to, you know, the good old days with Opie. And, it's really nice up here. I really enjoy it. By the way, let's go away from Opie for a second. Let's talk about that incredibly weird Illuminati brainwashed MK Ultra mind controlled, apparently. It shows, it seems, sure seems that way, Katy Perry. She has a new song out now that's called Bon Appetit. Now, the only reason that I'm actually talking about this is because I had a pastor friend of mine the other day. He's a mega church pastor. He had 15 to 20,000 members in multiple campuses. Actually mentioned from the pulpit that he knew Katy Perry as if it was some type of honor and knew her family. And so I immediately, before his sermon was even over with, I sent him a text and said, dude, you may not understand who this girl is or what she is, but she is not somebody that you need to be promoting from the pulpit, even mentioning her name. If you want to say anything about her from the pulpit, say she's a sick, twisted deviant and that she needs Jesus Christ back in her life because she was raised in a Christian church. And he said that after he did, he said, well, it's kind of just slipped. I didn't mean to do that. He said, I know better than that. And I said, well, I'm going to send you a bunch of links. So I sent her all kinds of satanic links to Katy Perry. Well, she has a new video out called Bon Appetit. And if you remember last year when they were doing these soul cooking rituals, they were actually having full size mannequins of human beings that looked very, very real and lifelike in a complete container of like red molasses or blood. And they're bringing them up and cutting pieces off of them as far as in their satanic rituals. It's kind of crazy how they do stuff like this. And I don't really talk about this kind of weird stuff, but this is what she's doing. They have, in the video, she's being cooked, sliced and diced, and served on a table to be eaten. Now, guys, I don't even know what to say about this, except it's a bunch of sexually perverted, satanic, deviant filth. So here's why I say this again. Pastors need to not be promoting these nutbags from the pulpit. And number two, don't let your children listen to this slut. And I'm sorry to use that language, but that's what she is. She's nothing but a satanic slut. And I can't stand this when I see this and all of these kids want to worship her and think that she's absolutely incredible. But no, this is one of those weirdo things in that Katy Perry is cooked by chefs and offered as a meal to a party of elite guests. It directly alludes to bizarre rituals, the occult elite practice behind closed doors, and in plain sight. So, guys, stay away from this stuff. Don't even watch it. This is some weird, weird stuff again. It's all part of their sick, 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 perverted rituals. Austin, what do you think about these nuts?
Oh, man, well, I looked some of this up today as I saw it, and, I mean, it's a very, very sadistic music video. I mean, even if at the end of the video, they have her at the table about to eat this big cherry pie full of human body parts, feet, arms, hands, full cannibalistic, satanic ritual stuff. I mean, it's a sick video. I watched part of it on mute. I wanted to see exactly what they were talking about in some of these articles, and it's dark. I mean, and the scary part to me about this, guys, isn't, you know, when I see it, I know exactly what's going on with this. When most of our listeners see it, most adults see this, they're like, okay, that's just sick. The problem is, guys, this isn't being pushed towards the 20, 30, 40-year-olds. This is being pushed to the 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 impressionable teenagers that are young, and they see this stuff, and they go, oh, wow, that's cool. That's Katy Perry. She's my favorite singer. She's doing this weird stuff in these movies, in these music videos. It's okay. That's normal. That's fun. That's cool. That's what we need to do too. All these music videos are designed to do is to take the younger generation and completely warp their mind into accepting the extreme satanic ritual abuse that they want to push on the entire population. That's the globalist agenda. That's why they push these music videos out like this. That's why they make these guys ultra mega rich after they sell their soul. They have to use them as a tool to try and corrupt the younger generation, and they've been incredibly successful at it ever since MTV. If you guys looked at some of the older music videos back in the 90s, some of the stuff that came out in the 90s that people were like, oh, that's a bad music video, you don't need to watch that, it was like PG-rated mild stuff that nowadays you wouldn't even consider it to be much more than a PG-rated film. If you put these type of sadistic films, these music videos out back in the 90s, you would literally have had people rioting down at MTV headquarters and other places that were listing this stuff, banning this on TV because of how perverted it is. The fact that this is on television, is on YouTube, and it's okay, and it's got millions and millions of views, and it's a cool music video now, is pretty sick to me, and it shows a lot on how far our younger generation's been corrupted. So please do me a favor. If you have kids, if you have grandkids, if you have younger teenagers in your house, do not allow them to watch this type of stuff. There is so much subliminal and very overt satanic, occultic, ritualistic, just garbage in this music video. I mean, it's sick, guys. It is really, really sick. Don't let your kids watch it. Don't let them watch any of this crap from any of these guys. There's no reason to allow them to fill their brain full of this globalist just sludge, because all it does is corrupt and compromise their soul. It really does. That's the whole goal of this stuff, guys. So do me a favor. Keep this stuff off your computer. Keep it off your TV and understand what's going on now, and try and wake other people up about it, because this one's gone pretty far with this music video, Dan.
You know, I'm going to tell a couple stories about when you were young, if you don't mind, Austin. I remember when Austin was 14 years old, he was involved in a really good karate do in Central Florida here, and he was a first-degree black belt. In fact, fought in the U.S. Open and placed fourth in the world in open martial arts competition in actually full-contact karate fighting. And I don't normally talk about this stuff with you, Austin, on the air, because it sounds kind of funny with you sitting there listening to it. But in other words, Austin doesn't just talk the talk. He walks the walk with all of this stuff. And what was interesting about this is when he was 14 years old, he was preparing some skits with the karate, and some of the other kids in the karate were listening to this black rap music with just hoodlum stuff, just gang music. And, you know, and finally I found that his whole attitude, his whole countenance started to change. And I also remember this, and he'll tell you it's all true. And finally, we were on vacation for a month or so. I forgot where we were. I think we were in Australia, me and Sharon. And Austin was already at Southeastern University because he's brilliant. He passed his entrance exams and was at college, you know, when he was 16 full time. And I remember I came home and, you know, he had put a DVD player, a CD player back in his truck and was listening to the music again after I'd asked him not to listen to it anymore. And we pulled the entire stereo out of the truck. Now, guys, listen to me for a second. And this was expensive stereo, and I took it out on the field, and I poured kerosene on it, and I burned the entire thing, including the speakers, because I knew the importance of not allowing him to put this type of music into his mind and into his spirit. But at that point in time, it had already gotten in there pretty deep, and it was kind of hard. So Austin had a couple of rough years at that point. But the reality is this: you have to have that kind of resolve with your children. If you know your children are doing something that you know that's really, really wrong, you can't say, okay, that's all right, I'm just going to tolerate that. It's kind of like this. There's several things that require a 5-alarm fire. Now, I'm going to be kind of direct with you guys today, so like I'm not always direct with you. I'm going to be even more direct today. But it's kind of like this. If you're in a hotel room, let's say you're in the Marriott or the Starwood, you know, Hilton, not Starwood, the Marriott. If you're in a hotel room, okay, let's say you're in the Sheraton, and all of a sudden there's smoke in the hallway. And there's fire, and the hotel's filling up with smoke, and you have a friend who's next door with you in a room, has his own room, or whatever, a group, maybe it's a youth group, and you're the pastor, and you pound on the door, but the person is already, you know, sleeping, and they don't wake up, but the hotel's on fire. You have to make a choice at that point. If you're pounding on the door and they're wearing earplugs and they don't hear you, you either have to pound on the door louder, or you've got to kick the door in, or whatever you've got to do. You know, I would be to the point of, if I had a gun with me and I couldn't get them out, I would shoot the doggone lock and kick the door open that way. I would do that physically. You gotta be careful for ricochets though when you do stuff like that. So, but the reality is this. There are some things out there that are 5-alarm fires that are not necessarily a fire, but it's a metaphoric fire. And there's two of those things today. Number one is, if you've got children listening to this music, you've gotta do everything you can to stop it, because I've seen nothing but horrible things come from this. That's number one, and you've got to intervene. Number two, if you've got a child who's using the internet to view pornography and who's basically texting in the middle of the night and basically doing who knows what, and they're erasing their texts, they're only going on Snapchat, and they're under the age of 18, you need to take the telephone away and tell them that there's not going to be a telephone anymore. They don't need that. And in fact, I did this the other day with my 14-year-old daughter. She wanted a phone, so I got her a little $25 flip phone. I mean, no joke, it was $25 from Metro. And she lasted about a week and a half, and I broke the phone in half, threw it in the garbage, and that was the end of the $25 flip phone because her attitude started changing. So if you know they're doing things, and this was not internet accessible. It was only through telephones and basically through texts. That was all you could do with this phone. It had no internet access at all. But it still went in the garbage. And the other thing that you have to have a five-alarm fire with, and this is going to kind of bother a lot of you guys because this is just that important. If you've got relatives or friends or loved ones that have children or that are pregnant, you've got to have the five-alarm fire approach as far as immunizations. And I mean that very sincerely. You've got to realize that these are several things here that you've got to not allow your friends to do to the best of your ability. Because here's the thing. Let's say you don't say something to your friend. I remember I have a dear friend of mine. She's also my niece. Her name is Julie. And when she has two children. One was like 8 and the other was like 6. And I remember when she called me up when she was like 9 years ago and she was pregnant. And she goes, "Ted, I'm not sure about immunizations. What do you think we should do about this?" And I said, "Okay, Julie, let me send you some information." So I sent her a whole bunch of stuff because she wanted to immunize. And finally, after reading the stuff, she goes, "Why would anybody ever do this?" And I said, "Well, Julie, they're scared. They're scared because the doctor tells them they need to do it. They're scared because they don't have a pediatrician. They're scared because their in-laws are telling them they need to do it. They're just scared because they're not making the decision, you know, when they're pregnant or before they get pregnant. They're trying to make it right before the baby gets born." And I said, "You can't do that. You have to make these decisions before the baby even is conceived." And I told her, I said, "It's very important that you tell your friends what you know now." And it wasn't. She had her baby was born. And like a month later, 2 months later, another lady had another baby with her that was her friend Austin. Julie never told her about the immunizations. She went and got the MMR vaccine. And at 3 months, the baby died. You know, sudden infant death. And right after, I mean, like the day of the vaccine, the night of the vaccine. And the sad part about all of this, it happens all the time with these children. They die. So you have to understand, this is a five-alarm fire with these things. With the music that they're listening to, with what they're watching on their cell phones or iPads, you have to maintain that. Also with TV, by the way. It has to be with TV, too. And also with the information that you need to give your friends when it comes to these types of things, such as vaccinations and immunizations. Because the reality is this. What are you going to do and how are you going to feel if you have a sister or a brother or a loved one that has a child and it has sudden infant death syndrome after this vaccines, or you go in and the child's autistic? I can't tell you how many people I've warned and then their children have become autistic. I mean, probably close to a dozen that I've personally warned, and they come back to me and they can't, for years they keep telling me, "I can't believe I did this. I can't believe this. Why didn't I listen to you? Why didn't I listen to you?" One guy out in Arizona, radio talk show personality, I warned him and warned him and warned him. He had his first baby. Immunized that first baby, got ADD. And then also kept immunizing him, got autism. I couldn't believe it. Had the second baby, immunized him, got autism. You know, slow learning. And finally he said to me, he goes, "Man, you were right, dude." I said, "I know I'm right." I said, "You can't put this stuff into these kids." But guys, you have to be that person that cared enough, that loved them enough, that was Christian enough, that was bold enough to say, "Hey, can I send you a video to watch? It's called Vaxxed. Can you just watch this video if I buy it for you, please? I'd like to see what you think about this and just give you some information about what vaccines may or may not do, just so you have some input as far as what you need to do when this baby gets born." Those are the three or four things that I always tell people, Austin, that we need to be vigilant about and do our best to help our friends. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. I think that's really, really accurate. Those are a lot of the key ones. Because that's where a lot of the bad information and the compromising of a lot of things happen. They begin with a lot of those. And that's a huge aspect. I mean, especially when you're looking at what these music videos are doing to this younger generation. I mean, like you said, you see what happened to a lot of our younger generation with the, you know, the millennials, so to speak, and the music videos that we had. Now you see these 11, 12, 13-year-olds watching these sick music videos with Katy Perry, basically being, you know, opened up in cellophane and butchered and put in a cook pot and, you know, being fed to people, and then she eats everything. I mean, it's weird. And so what in the world are we going to deal with in another 10 to 15 years with this generation if we don't try to put a stop to it and we don't try to be proactive? The same thing with the vaccines. The health of this country is degrading so fast, and it's not by accident, guys. It's not by random chance. There is a significant, intentional, push from the globalists to completely wreck the health of the world, and particularly the world, the United States of America. Because if you can compromise the health of a generation, of an entire populace, you can control them much, much easier. All over the world now, we're seeing this massive push for vaccines everywhere you go. Basically, if you don't agree with vaccines, you need to be hung, as I talked about in the Boston Herald the other day. If you don't agree with vaccines, you basically need to be arrested and imprisoned if you don't vaccinate your kids. Now, in Australia now, if you live in Australia, the new federal budget that just came out over there will see parents who don't vaccinate losing $14 per week from the family tax benefit payments. The measure will be set in motion by July 18th and is expected to raise millions of dollars to punish families that don't vaccinate their kids. Health Minister Greg Hunt of Social Services has said that taking this approach at the end of the year will be a good way to constantly remind parents they need to vaccinate their kids. Families who want to catch up on their vaccines will be able to do so for free under a $14 million program. The government will also spend $5 million to promote the vaccinations in areas that have lower immunization rates. Laws are already in place that prevent unvaccinated kids from going to school entirely in some parts of Australia, Queensland, Victoria, and New South Wales. In addition, some Australian children are now being denied medical treatment because their immunizations are not up to date or they do not have any. A poll of more than 2,000 parents found that one out of every six children were not current on their vaccinations, had been refused care at hospitals. And what he's talking about here, what they're pushing on the family tax benefit payment, as you guys know, the whole thing in Australia is weird. They basically have a Australia family tax benefit. It's a two-part payment system that helps the cost of raising kids. The issue that you run into, and this is what we see in the United States now with 47 million people on food stamps and a plethora of other people on all types of other government assistance, when the government comes in and you allow them to start giving you money, there are always strings attached to it. What happens is a base rate of around $726 per children, and all the way up, depending on what the child is doing, its eligibility, if you have a dependent child or a full-time secondary student younger than 20 years of age who is not receiving a pension or a payment, and you have the child for more than 35% of the time, and you meet the income tax or income test of making $80,000 or less per year, you can be eligible for all this, all the way up to $6,000 per year per child. And so what they're going to start doing now is, if you don't have your vaccinations for the kids, they're going to basically hit you at $14 a week, which is $728 a year, essentially, is what it is. And that'll essentially take out the base pay and make you completely ineligible to be able to receive money for your children. That's what the whole basis of it is. This is the vaccine agenda. This is what they want to do. They have to figure out ways to mandate this. They really technically cannot ever get to a point where they're going to forcibly vaccinate an entire populace by law. I don't think it'll ever get that way, because the whole thing about the globalists is you have to comply and you have to submit to what they want. If they start forcibly vaccinating, I mean taking down millions of people, strapping them to a gurney and vaccinating them, that, in my opinion, goes against what they are allowed to do. They want you to submit to the vaccinations, and in the way to do so is to take away the subsidies, the benefits, the free school, all the things you see that they keep doing to the populace. They do it and make people capitulate and say, okay, fine, I'll vaccinate my kid. I want my money every year for this. I want my free tuition for this. I don't want to have issues with health care. I want to make sure my pediatrician sees him and you cover him under my insurance. These are all ways they're getting people to capitulate, and it's being very, very effective. That's why you have to waken up as many people as possible about these vaccine lies they're trying to push on the population, Dad.
Well, you're right, because remember, that's a satanic way. They know that we have freedom. They know we have freedom of will, and they don't want to force you to do something. They want you to willingly submit to the rule of Lucifer. They want you to embrace it. They want you to embrace it. they want you to basically say, oh yes, that's what I want to do. See, it's one of those things that it's kind of a sick, twisted thing to do. It's called lesser magic or white magic with these guys. They can't do it if you say no. If you say no, they're going to say, but they can do exactly what you said. They can start using little pressure points here, 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 and here to try to force you to willingly accept the mark of the beast, to willingly say, yes, I will be led to the slaughter, to willingly say, yes, I will go ahead and allow my children to watch these filthy videos because I don't want to deal with the blowback of it. I'm going to allow these children to do this. They want you to allow them to do it with your own free will. That's what they do. And when that happens, they win, because at that point, supposedly on the other side, this is what they believe, as above, so below, there's another ritual going on the other side of the dimensional wall, so to speak, that's exactly the mirror of the dimensional wall of the ritual that's going on here. And they want you to embrace that ritual and accept it and say, yes, I want to do this. Yes, I have to do this. Yes, this is my goal in my life, is for me to do this because it's what I want. Remember, this is exactly what they did in Genesis chapter 6, where every thought of every man was evil all of the time.
Everybody,
all of the time. And this is how they do it. See, they did this back in the 60s also, long before you were born. We had really good videos on TV. I mean, we had Gomer Pyle, USMC, and we had all these great Father Knows Best back in the 50s. And little by little, they used this brainwashing device known as the television to try to change cultural values and norms. These are the Sabbatean Kabbalists that are doing this. These are the Luciferians. These are the ones that run the money system. And what they did, all of a sudden, back in the 60s, you know, we had like Mr. Ed was a talking horse and all these just really fun little shows that we had as kids. Suddenly, they throw a witch on TV, one of these Disney deals, right? They throw Bewitched on there. And all of a sudden, we've got this witch who's really, really nice and really, really sweet. And all of these witches and warlocks are really, really friendly. And they went into our generation as young children to start indoctrinating us and seeding the fact that witchcraft is okay. There's good witches and there's bad witches. And they started doing all of this stuff back in the 60s. And I remember the Christian groups were in uproar about that show that came out called Bewitched. I remember seeing it in the newspaper. They were livid that there was a witch on TV. Well, little by little, the following, you know, back in the 70s, they start cussing on TV and saying words that are here and here and get more and more sexually graphic. Then pretty much in the 80s, you start having all of these crazy sitcoms that start popping up with these very disobedient and worldly children. In the 90s, you get that video, you know, you get the Friends video that comes in where they're openly involved in multiple external relationships and sexual relationships with their friends. And lesbianism's introduced, and of course then we have Ellen DeGeneres comes on, and I said that correctly, by the way, not DeGeneres, I did say degenerate. She comes on and she decides she's going to come out of the closet at the very end of the seasons that she was going to be on there, she'd be terminated anyhow, to bring this lesbian agenda on. Then of course we have more with different women and different stars coming out, and then we have people kissing each other with lesbian kisses, and all this stuff was seeded in the 90s. And now we have full-blown music videos of people doing full-blown satanic services, including during the Super Bowl halftime services, and we've been so indoctrinated into accepting this and saying this is okay, that has taken the entire country down the slippery slope of Luciferianism. That's what this is. They're bringing us into a one-world dictatorship with Lucifer as the head, in which we all worship the beast and worship Lucifer, and we all have the mark of the beast, and they want us to do it willingly. And see, they're not going to force us. I think you're absolutely right, Austin, but the people are going to be so pressured from a peer pressure standpoint to vaccinate their children, because we've seen it personally with our friends.
Oh yeah,
I remember that one day I was fussing at your friend and that young kid that I knew who was in his 20s, and I said, your problem is, gosh, I can't say this on the air, I said, your problem is you don't have enough testosterone to stand up to these women in your life that are forcing you to do what you know you shouldn't do as a father. And you're allowing these women who don't know anything about vaccinations, who've been basically brainwashed into believing this is okay, to make these decisions for your children. I mean, that's what I said. Now, that could be just the opposite too. You could be letting your husband do the same thing. It doesn't have to be a woman. It could be a man. You're allowing somebody who's not trained into this area dictate to you what you should and should not do. Guys, we can't allow that. We've got to stand firm with what we know to believe the truth. So, anyhow, by the way, CNN, CNN's Bash admits Comey memo is a deep state revenge against Trump. This is from Paul Joseph Watson. And yet another anonymously sourced news story, the New York Times reported yesterday, they were told about a memo, without having seen it, where Trump told former FBI James Comey, "I hope you can see your way clear to letting this go, to letting Flynn go. He's a good guy. I hope you can let this go." The anti-Trump media immediately ran with hysterical headlines accusing Trump of obstructing justice. Gosh, what about Loretta Lynch meeting with the Clintons on the tarmac with Hillary's election last year? This is unbelievable. With several news anchors and columns calling for his impeachment for Trump. Amidst all the frenzy, however, CNN's Dana Bush let slip the truth that the memo is just the latest folly in the Hillary-aligned deep state's revenge campaign against President Trump. Former CIA analyst and retired U.S. Army Reserve Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer echoed Bash's sentiments during the appearance on Fox Business with Lou Dobbs. "This is truly deep state," said Schaefer. "This is something being done by those in the deep state to upset everything that's going on and trying to undermine the president in every breath." The deep state, guys, is the shadow government that's being run by the CIA, that's being funded through this Exchange Stability Fund. We talked about this in detail a few weeks ago. You can go back and you can look at that in the archives. They don't have to go through the congressional budget process. They're funded through the drugs they bring in from Afghanistan, which is $1 trillion a year into the U.S. alone. And remember this, guys, that's bigger than the U.S. auto industry. That's bigger than the U.S. auto industry. The drugs that are coming in from Afghanistan right now into the United States through the mafia and are being distributed, and all the money's being laundered through these banks up in New York. This is a major, major mess. Trump's basically just on his choke chain, and they're trying to get him back in line with what they're doing, like we talked about yesterday. Also, what do you think?
That's exactly what's going on. And I want to go back real quick what you were just saying with the television, because it just kind of hit me, because this is way before my time, actually even before your time. The first early movie, and I was read about this a while back ago, but I just kind of put two and two together. The first early movie that really glamorized witchcraft was in 1939. You guys know what it was, called The Wizard of Oz. There were two witches, if you guys remember, the wonderful good witch from the north, as they referred to her as. Remember, if you guys remember that, she goes, "This is a good witch of the north," and then you had the wicked witch of the east, and the good witch of the north helped Dorothy go through all this stuff, while the wicked witch did all the satanic stuff and the witchcraft on it. That movie glamorized witchcraft even in 1939, but made it socially acceptable through all the little songs and rhythms and little things they did throughout that whole movie and made it okay. That right there was one of the first films actually in history to really glamorize witchcraft and to bring the general population into acceptance of that satanic agenda, Dad. I just realized that, but that was a long time ago. And as you see from that point now where we are, it's gone to a whole nother level since then.
Well, okay. Remember what happened in the 20s and the 30s with the Russian Revolution and the Bolshevik Revolution, which was completely and totally paid for and financed by the Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Luciferian witches and warlocks and wizards. These guys are, they're what they call, they're numerologists, Kabbalist wizards. I mean, this is what they do. They use chants and incantations and all these stuff they've got from all these ancient Egyptian things to change the physical reality of time-space. When these guys financed the Russian Revolution to get the Tsar out of Russia to put the Rothschild-controlled central bank in Russia, they swept through Europe. And that they were primarily the sect of Judaism, which has been disavowed by the mainstream Judaism that basically worshiped Lucifer. We talked about that on the show a few months ago with Terrell. Now, with Pastor Terrell, you guys go back and listen to this. These guys came into Germany and started the same thing in Germany, trying to start a communist revolution in Germany that had lost steam during the mid-20s when the Roaring Twenties hit. But then when the 1929 hit and these same Sabbatean Kabbalists who were running the Wall Street Federal Reserve System contracted the M1 money supply, the money in circulation, causing the massive Great Depression in the United States, the massive seizure of land and family farms and all the other things they did to the United States to impoverish our country. When they did all of this, this communist movement picked way, way, way back up. These same guys from the 20s and the 30s who saw that the persecution was starting in Germany with Adolf Hitler, they left Germany, including Albert Einstein. And I'm not saying he was a Sabbatean Kabbalist, because I don't believe he was. And they left Germany and they came into Hollywood and they started doing the theaters in Hollywood and running the major networks and the major Hollywood theaters and production houses in Hollywood, including Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer and a lot of these other ones, which were absolutely involved in the production of The Wizard of Oz. Ah, now guys, if you just caught this picture here, you gotta stay with me on that. You go ahead and listen to that over again. These are the same guys that helped kill the Russian Tsar family in the 1900s, the same guys that tried to sweep communism through Europe in the 20s, the same guys that were basically told by Hitler to get out, we want you guys out of here, and they left, they came to the United States, they took over the media in the United States because they were being financed through the Rothschild banking cartel, which was printing the money in the currency, right during the Great Depression, this is all going on. They go into Hollywood, and they push their satanic agenda, Hollywood meaning the witchcraft holly tree of a wand. That's what it means, the wand that witches use is from the holly tree. And these guys took over Hollywood, and they started this satanic agenda. And one of the first movies, you're right, Austin, was The Wizard of Oz, that was brought to you by these Sabbatean Kabbalists. And then what they did, they kept gradually dropping it deeper and deeper. And then finally McCarthy saw what was going on in the 50s and said, you know, you guys basically are awful, and you guys are trying to bring communism into the United States with your subversive messages with the movies that you're making. And then he started calling these producers out that were doing this, and he was absolutely right. And all of a sudden the media, who was now owned primarily by the Rothschild banking cartel, the other Sabbatean Kabbalists, said, oh, you're an anti-Semite, McCarthy. You're this, McCarthy. You don't understand who we are, McCarthy. We're not going to allow you to do this, McCarthy. And they labeled it all McCarthyism. And now we look back and we see that he was telling us the truth of what Hollywood had turned into and what it had become. And now here we are, 60, 70 years later, after all of this mess, and we've got this giant albatross called Hollywood hanging around everybody's neck, and they're responsible for all these music videos, they're responsible for all the satanic theater. And this last movie I just saw, Guardians of the Galaxy, they actually had God in there, supposedly, by being played by Kurt Russell, and he was a mean dude, let me tell you what, he was mean. And they were trying to make him like a sovereign, they were calling him. And he actually just said he put brain cancer in this girl's brain that he loved and all this other crazy stuff. And they were making him this really, really bad god. Again, this is subliminal stuff that's being put into the minds of the children who are watching these types of movies, saying, hey, wow, you know, God's a bad guy. He's really the bad guy. And then when they do that, they come in and they say, oh, well, Lucifer, he's the good guy. This is how they twist the minds and the attitudes of the children of today. This is how they've taken over Hollywood. This is how they brought us The Wizard of Oz. It was the Sabbatean Kabbalists who were being financed by the Rothschild banking cartel to have huge fortunes. Remember, Rockefeller was financed by these guys. Always remember that. Rockefeller was. J.P. Morgan was. The Rockefeller Chase Manhattan Bank financed through all of this stuff. All of these guys work together because they're the cutouts, you would call it, the cardboard cutouts, so the Rothschilds don't have to take the heat. When J.P. Morgan died, they found that almost his entire fortune was being controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel, and indeed, they're the ones who had set him up in all of this stuff. And you see this with a lot of these guys at the turn of the last century, who were these industrialists. When you look back on it, you find out they were being financed through the Bank of England. They were being financed through the Rothschild banking cartel to come in and subvert us and to own us and to control us. This is how subtle these guys are, and this is what they do. That's their mantra, Austin.
Wow, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You nailed it on the head. That's why when I remember that The Wizard of Oz, because you remember that was a long time before me, but that's exactly what a lot of it has done. Also, too, in other news I wanted to get to today, this was pretty exciting. You guys know I've talked about the MS-13 gangs and the El Salvadorian degenerates that basically have come up here and start these unbelievably ruthless, satanic gangs in a lot of ways. And, you know, the government has tried to allow these guys in some cases and not even prosecute them or deport them. Well, federal and local law enforcement officers conducted 50 simultaneous raids in the pre-dawn hours yesterday, taking down 24 high-ranking leaders of MS-13 gang, along with numerous Mexican mafia leaders, and what is being described as the largest gang raid in Los Angeles history. The raids were the accumulation of almost 3 years of investigation. Some 34 MS-13 and Mexican Mafia Association associates were charged with federal RICO violations, 5 Mexican mafia associates were charged in narcotics conspiracy. 2 others were arrested for narcotics and weapons violation. Attorney Sandra R. Brown said this gang is responsible for murders, both of rival gangsters and of many innocent bystanders, as well as significant amount of drug dealing and extortion in many communities in the Los Angeles area. With thousands of the members here in Southland, the gang's power is widespread, power which it maintains with severe acts of violence. Los Angeles has been the epicenter of the MS-13 criminal activity. The El Salvadorian immigrants who came here started fighting against the Mexican street gangs. The MS-13 became known for its vicious and brutal methods of enforcing its territory, often decapitating rival gang members in order to instill fear within the neighborhoods it controlled. I did a whole article on these guys on the Hagman Show about 3 months ago. This is not a group of individuals that have any place being in the United States, much less any civilized society. They need to be locked up in a pen. If that, I mean, that, and that's being nice about it. I'm really glad that a lot of the ICE agents and the law enforcement were able to detain a lot of these guys. This is just a tip of the iceberg. They have to keep pushing and pushing and pushing to try and flush this gang out. They're absolutely just a noxious fume on society. They do nothing productive. They literally involved in every single type of egregious activity you could possibly think of. And I'm really glad this has started now. I have no idea if Trump had anything to do with this. They may have been able to pursue something a little bit more aggressively now that Trump has basically taken off the reins of ICE and a lot of the other guys, as far as the DEA and stuff. I don't know if it is. I'm just speculating on that, if he's had anything to do with it. But I am glad that has happened, Dad. Now they need to start doing this every single week. If they start raiding these guys every couple weeks and pushing all these guys out and bust them for all the drugs and weapons trafficking and all that, it will make a significant difference flushing them out. My only concern is if a lot of these agents keep pushing this and keep getting these guys and busting them, eventually somebody's going to put a stop to it inside the deep state, because these are a lot of the guys that they're trafficking the machine guns and the weapons to ATF when they did the Fast and Furious. Remember, they found one of the El Salvadorian guys had weapons also too from Operation Castaway, that they allowed a man out of the state of Florida, this state of Florida, to traffic weapons to El Salvadorians, whatever you want to say that. They found weapons down there that he was trafficking to. The ATF had monitored him for like 2 years and did nothing about it. This is what they do a lot of times. They watch this stuff happen. They do nothing about it. And then they go in and bust people for stupid stuff, like a homemade silencer out in Texas with a real estate agent I've seen happen as well. So that's what's going on with this. I really, really hope these guys keep pursuing the MS-13 gang, because they have no business being in the United States, Deb.
Well, they should have never been allowed to come in. That was good, our buddy, the Gay Kenyon. By the way, you won't believe why Washington State isn't allowed to prepare for nuclear war. With all the hype surrounding North Korea's missile tests, many states are reexamining their nuclear preparedness, especially on the West Coast, except in Washington State, where apparently it's illegal for state authorities to even mention or make those plans, according to the King 5 News out of Seattle. State law does not allow any advanced planning, says Karina Chagrin with the Washington State Emergency Management Division. The RCW 38.52.030, passed in 1983, says the comprehensive all-hazard emergency plan authorized under this subsection may not include preparation for emergency evacuation or relocation of residents in anticipation of a nuclear attack. The author of the state law preventing a nuclear attack plan, former Democratic state lawmaker Dick Nelson, says at the time, Washington State was inundated with nuclear threats, and the idea was to create an example of peace. It was about finding a middle ground where we could all agree on, he said. Nelson also felt that if Seattle were to be attacked or nuked, the chances of survival would be so low that a preparation plan would have been moot anyway. Today, Nelson still says he has no regrets. So in other words, the state decided that refusing to prepare for a nuclear disaster, nuclear war, would send the message that nuclear war is bad and peace is good, or something like that. I don't even know what to say about stuff like this. These liberals out there in Washington State and out there in Oregon and out there in California, it's crazy. I mean, you can't even believe the mindset of these guys. I mean, here's the thing. All right, you can't live in a state of constant fear. I got that, okay? I am good with that. I don't believe we should do that, because we're born of a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind, as it says in the book of Timothy. So we don't walk in fear. But here's the thing. We still have to maintain a preparation mindset. I mean, you know, we live in Florida, Austin, and we've had so many times where our power's gone out, so I put a generator in so the refrigerator and the food in the pantry and all the stuff doesn't spoil. I realized that I have a deep well and I had to have water for the family, so I made sure the generator would run the well. That's what I've done over the years, and I gradually added this or added that because I knew that it would be something that would be preparedness, that would be preparation mindset. That's what we all have to do. We can't allow ourselves to get into a situation where we're just going to stick our heads in the sand and say, hey, it's not okay. You know, this is never going to happen to us. I mean, that's what, look what happened in Dresden and all these places over in Germany that were carpet bombed and all these things that happened. Now, personally, I don't believe that we're ever going to have a nuclear attack in the United States. I don't believe that's going to happen. And I've told you guys repeatedly why, because of the destruction of the infrastructure and all of the energy field around the planet that's being so controlled. I believe we're going to have a biological release, or I believe we're going to have a, you know, chemical release. That's what I think is going to happen if they do anything to us. But right now, their agenda of mass depopulation is becoming very effective with all of these folks that are in their 20s and 30s now, Austin. They can't have children, or they're having children that are very mentally impaired because of all the immunizations the pregnant mother is taking. So gradually, they're getting what they want as far as reduction in population of white people. Now, I know that sounds odd to you, and it may sound strange when I say that, but that's exactly what they want. They don't want us to be standing the ground and doing what we need to do as patriots and as people who love the United States. They want us to capitulate to what they want us to do, to their new world order. Guys, I want to thank you so much for listening to the show today. This was a good one. That whole thing on the Wizard of Oz that Austin brought up, and this whole Sabbatean group coming over from Russia and Europe and Germany to bring this filth into our theaters is something else. So, guys, good show today. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I love you guys. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for supporting this broadcast. Thanks for praying for us, and thank you for being here to support us. I appreciate you guys. Austin, I'll write a summary, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Yes, absolutely. And always remember, guys, I'm going to reiterate this again. They cannot forcibly vaccinate you or your children. There are still ways around it as far as getting exemptions, getting medical waivers, all types of other options if you're actually serious about not engaging in this type of very, very just unhealthy behavior with these vaccinations. They have to make you submit and comply to being inoculated because they know how toxic and deadly this stuff is. That's why it's all a part of their agenda to get people to comply with it. They cannot forcibly vaccinate the entire population. It can't be done. So just understand that. If you do get vaccinated, if you've taken your kids to get vaccinated, understand every time you're doing it, you are complying with their wishes. You do not have to do so under any circumstances. Do your research, do your background on the vaccines, look at the aluminum, look at the formaldehyde, look at the thimerosal, look at the stuff they put in there, look at the aborted lung tissue cells from aborted girl fetuses. This stuff's not something you want to inject in your body or your children's body ever. Check it out. Make sure you do your research. Wake up other people on it. Also, too, if you guys need anything, as always, healthmasters.com has brought you the show today. The prostate support for a healthy urinary flow and prostate health is on product of the week sale, over 10% off. If you guys need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com, 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.